With words to live by, here's Pastor Dave.
You want a good life? You want things to turn out okay for you? Be careful what you say. Make sure that what you say is uplifting and edifying, that it's not evil and hurtful and destructive, that it's not false. Speak the truth. Take a look at what comes out of your mouth. And then do good things. Live a life that's righteous. Get away from evil. Try to be at peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Chase it. Do what you can to not be at odds with everyone around you. God sees. And God's going to even up things eventually. Those that are such a hassle to you right now, someday you won't even remember them. Someday they won't even matter.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. Instrument I play, wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel welcomes you to the Balanced Word. Could you be described as brokenhearted today? It's at those times that we can feel as though we're all alone. But take comfort in this today. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. We can turn to Him for comfort and strength. Our series in the Psalms continues today as we bring you Psalm 34. When faced with injustice, where do you run to? Let's see King David's response as we hand things over to Pastor Dave Roth.
Psalm 34, one of my favorite psalms in the whole book of Psalms. Just a psalm of joy and celebration on the part of David. You see in the little prefix to it, it says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now, there were a couple of kings in the Bible named Abimelech, one of them way back in the days of Abraham and another one later. This guy wasn't actually named Abimelech. Abimelech is a name that refers to the son of a king. And so it was used as a title when kingship was being passed down from generation to generation. It was actually Achish was the name of the Philistine king that this happened with. And you probably remember the story from back there in 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David was running from Saul. He was out on the lam. Saul wanted him dead. And David fled to the Philistines, basically. Well, before that, he went to one of the priests and he got some showbread to eat, just he and his buddies. At this time, he told the priest that, whose name was Ahimelech, by the way, he told him that, hey, I'm on business for Saul. Can you give me something to eat? And he did. And then he said, hey, do you have any weapons? I left home without my weapons. And he goes, the only thing that's here is we've got Goliath's sword. David had earlier slain Goliath, and the sword they put on display there in the company of the priest. And so he goes, great, I'll take that. So here David now, with just a handful of buddies, takes Goliath's sword, and where does he go to hide out? He goes to Gath. Now, Gath was a Philistine city that was the hometown of none other than Goliath. Goliath's brothers lived there as well. Not the greatest place to go hide out. I suppose David thought, hey, they'll love to have me on their side. I knocked off their toughest guy. And now here Saul's trying to kill me, so maybe I can sign up with the Philistines. Well, there would have been a certain logic to that. There would have been a certain brilliance, really, in the Philistines getting David to be on their side. There were several times when David tried that, and Philistine kings tried it, and God continued to intervene. Because God didn't want David to be a traitor to the children of Israel, as evil as they were. And so in this case, as he went before Achish, he realized Achish is going, wait a minute, this is the guy that killed Goliath. He's been anointed as the king of Israel. And look at that, he's got the sword of Goliath. And so he was going to kill him. And David, in the king's presence, in Achish's presence, acted like he was crazy. Started drooling all over himself and just acting completely nuts. Not a bad tactic if you're, in a bad spot. I've heard it said often that if a woman's being attacked by a man and there's no one around and no way to get help, if you act just completely, out of your mind, sometimes it causes them to lose interest. I don't know, but David did it at this point because the Philistines' king wanted no part in David. It's kind of like If you're a Dodger fan and you're old enough to remember, we always hated the Giants from way back when they had a rivalry in New York. But one time back in the 60s, sometime I was a kid, I'll never forget it. There, the Giants, Juan Marichal was up to bat, and he hit Johnny Roseboro, the Dodgers catcher, over the head and split his head open. And I hated Juan Marichal after that. Everyone did. He was our arch enemy. But one time at the end of Marichal's career, he was still halfway decent pitcher. He got signed by the Dodgers. And that seemed like the biggest betrayal of all times. How could you do this? And at Dodger Stadium, even as he was pitching for the Dodgers, Dodger fans wouldn't accept him. They booed him. They hated him. And he ended up retiring in disgrace, basically. And that's kind of the situation here. David's like trying to come in and going, hey, I've switched sides. And they're going, no, you don't. And so very quickly he goes, man, I'm going kind of crazy. And just started acting nuts. And they go, get this lunatic out of here. After he pulled it off, and I mean, that was a close one. You'd think they would have cut off his head using Goliath's sword and seen it as a big revenge. Now we killed the king of Israel, but God just worked this out. And David's response is to write a song here, Psalm 34. And he begins by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's a great song that's word for word from those verses. And hey, let's sing it. How many of you know that song, by the way? Okay. You'll catch on to it really quick. Just watch the words and it's just right there. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. You're all going to rush out and get this tape, I'm sure. I can't wait till this comes on the radio. Okay, mark that down, underline it, and learn that song. Or make up your own tune if you can't remember the tune. It's one from way back. He goes on to say, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. The idea is, as God delivers, as he works, as he blesses us, we look at him and our faces shine. You know, the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It only reflects the light that comes from the sun. We're the same way. We don't have a light of our own. We only reflect what comes from the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But you can tell when the moon is exposed to the sun. It shines, it glows, it radiates. And the more exposure from the sun to the moon, the closer that the moon is and the more it's cleared up from what blocks it, the earth. The world is also what blocks us from the sun. So the shining gets greater as the reflection is more profound. And it's the same with us. Now, this maybe isn't true on a moment-by-moment basis, but there are some exceptions of people that just seem to radiate, but we're all supposed to. And the truth is, you can tell. Look at your own face. Look at how you look most of the time. Take a look in the mirror. If you can, pull a little mirror out during worship. That'll really do it. And you'll find whether or not you're looking at the sun. Because if you look at him, you'll be radiant. If you look at him, it shows. The joy and the brightness of him comes forth. Now, there are some people who just seem better at that than others. But no one's exempt. No one is called to just be the dark side of the moon. That's just who I am, a Pink Floyd fan. And I'm just, I'm not supposed to radiate. Yeah, you are. We all are. And the truth is, as he says here, you look at him and you're radiant. Your faces aren't ashamed, nothing to hide. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He said, man, I was in a mess. I was broke. I was poor. And God delivered me and saved me. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord. David probably didn't understand completely who the angel of the Lord was. The angel of the Lord showed up periodically throughout the Old Testament. Whenever they really needed mighty deliverance, he appeared to Abraham a couple times. He appeared to Jacob as he wrestled with him. He came and appeared to Gideon before his great battle. He appeared to Joshua before they marched on Jericho. And David understood the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ himself. He encamps all around those who fear him. If you respect him, if you love him, if you follow him, if you fear him, he's all around you. He's got you covered. And David understood it. And he's going to deliver you. And then this great verse, verse 8, this whole chapter seems like it should be a bunch of doilies or something. But, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I like that David says this, that the Holy Spirit speaking through David said it. Because so often we give people the idea that, man, you have to just plunge in 100% or you'll never get it. And I understand that, and there's some truth to that. But God so often even says, just taste and see. Check it out. How many of you, and I won't ask for a show of hands, but you started out being around the fringes of the Lord. Somebody dragged you to church because they're religious, or a friend invited you. Maybe you came because somebody's baby was getting dedicated or something like that. And, you know, you caught an interest. Maybe you saw a movie that scared you or whatever. And over a period of time, you realized, just when you're dabbling in it, man, this is good. This is exactly what I need. This is what I needed to hear. And it's true. All you need is a taste. All you need is just to stick your toe in the water and you realize who God is and that he is good. And he'll make you happy if you trust in him. The deeper you go with him, the better it gets. But he'll draw you in by the fringes of his goodness. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Again, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Over and over again in Scripture, we find that everything that we want isn't really what we want. What we really want is him. And when we have him, we don't want for anything else. We waste our energy, our efforts, our money, our time trying to get things that we think we want. And we find out, no, what I wanted was him. What I wanted was a deeper walk with him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. As David was writing this, penning this, he was pretty much alone. He had a couple people with him, and he was heading out into the wilderness. Everyone, all of the young bucks that he grew up with, all of those warriors that he trained and that he trained with them and they trained him, he was outnumbered horribly. Here he is, one sword and basically no allies. Now, over a short period of time, he's going to end up in a cave at Adullam, and then a collection, an assortment of losers are going to come and sign up with him. But at this point, that hadn't even happened. But he's saying, you know what? All those guys that are on top of the world, all those people that believe they have the energy in and of themselves, they don't understand it's nothing. They're going to lack. There's something missing in their lives. They are suffering hunger. You may see this as you get pushed out of life by those who are younger than you are. So often we see that you get to a certain point, and here's someone new who has a fresher education than you do. And so they're raring to go. But the truth is, you have experience, and if you have the Lord and you walk with him, believe me, you have something that they need, and they may be able to be impressive on a certain level, but David here is going, you know what? They're missing something too. They're not what it's all cracked up to be. Those who seek the Lord won't lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? You want to have a good life? First of all, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Don't say things that get you in trouble. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. He said, you want a good life? You want things to turn out okay for you? Be careful what you say. Make sure that what you say is uplifting and edifying, that it's not evil and hurtful and destructive, that it's not false. Speak the truth. Take a look at what comes out of your mouth. And then do good things. Live a life that's righteous. Get away from evil. Try to be at peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Chase it. Do what you can to not be at odds with everyone around you. God sees. And God's going to even up things eventually. Those that are such a hassle to you right now, someday you won't even remember them. Someday they won't even matter. If they don't repent and turn to the Lord, they're just going to fritter away. Nothing will be there ultimately. And how true it is, how many times we get so obsessed with an enemy, and over time, that enemy becomes not a threat at all. In fact, we're even told in the end that when the people see Satan, see Lucifer, they're going to look at him and go, this is the one that troubled the earth? This is the one that was hassling us? You got to be kidding me. And it's so often that way, that those people and those powers and those forces that we hold as so mighty and so strong, when we finally see the little man behind the curtain, we go, that's it? And so that's why we can't focus our attention on evil. We need to focus our attention on good, on being as responsible as we can to walk with the Lord and represent him well and be loving and try to be at peace, because the enemies that you're focused on today, if you focus on them for too long, you'll become like them. I've seen that happen again and again, where I'm obsessed with something wrong that someone is doing, and the next thing you know, I'm trying to think of tactics to beat them by acting like them. A classic case is these people that go and shoot up abortion clinics and kill abortion doctors. It's like, wait a minute, now this is your statement on pro-life? You can kill people too? I mean, but see, that's what happens when we focus on our enemy rather than focusing on our Lord and on what he wants us to be. And be careful, it'll happen to you too. If you get your eyes off of who God is and you start to focus on those who are against you, many people have been dragged into a fight who had no intention of fighting. And it turned out it ended up being a dirty fight. It ended up being a mess that only hurt everyone. So don't let your mouth drag you into things that you really don't need to be in. And ultimately, the righteousness that comes forth from your life, doing the right thing and just trusting God, being righteous, being a person who's seeking and pursuing peace, that will give us peace. Nothing else will. It's not your job to fight against everything evil in the world. It's not our job to get together and destroy what Satan is doing in this world. There's a certain theological position that really pushes that, and I think it's why Christians have become such party spirit people, whereby we all have to jump on a few political bandwagons. It's because of a theology that says that we are going to bring in the kingdom of God. We're going to take over. And there are people who believe that we can do it. We can't do it. Ultimately, it's going to happen when the Prince of Peace comes. That's when peace will occur. In the meantime, should we disengage from politics or from society? Or no, of course not. We should be good citizens. We should speak up the truth. We should do what we can do. But it's not our job to rally the troops to try to fix society. Society is not going to be fixed. It would be better for us if we spent our time trying to shut up and trying to just do the right thing and bring people together and be peaceful and loving than for us to fight against evil and speak against evil. There's a place for that, and there's a time for that, but ultimately what God chooses to do is, well, he shows us that it's a full-time job for me to take care of me. I need to fix myself before I start trying to fix everyone else, and that's kind of David's perspective here.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. All right, let's head back to Psalm 34 for this encouragement for the brokenhearted.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. I love this verse. If your heart has ever been broken, God was so close. He was right there. And sometimes your heart's been broken by something stupid that you have done. And as you're just overwhelmed with your own sense of guilt, and you feel like, oh, I'm so far from God, you find out, if you saw it from God's perspective, He's never been closer to you than when you were feeling self-condemned and guilty and awful, but contrite and sorry for the way that you've done. And it's so good to know what David understood, that when your heart's broken, you may never be closer to God than a time like that. And I can attest to you, it's amazing. I don't know what it is, but when your heart is just completely broken, when you're just overwhelmed with disappointment in yourself or in others, or when you feel so under attack, you think, what's the use? Or you've lost someone that you love and you think life is never going to be the same. It's so important to understand. God is so close to you at that time. He's so close to me when that is happening. And it's a relative term, but I'll tell you, you will never understand the presence of God like you do when He meets you when your heart's broken. And it is worth having your heart broken to know that comfort, to know that presence, to comprehend how close He is. So often, when I'm just reflecting on God and thinking about my life and what God has done for me and in me and through me, my mind is drawn back to times when I was brokenhearted, because truly those are some of the times when I felt Him the most. Those are some of the times when the consciousness that I had of Him was most profound. And so often it comes at a time right after you think He's a million miles away. And then you realize, my heart's broken, and here He is. He shows up. Great verse, great thing for us to remember. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now you go, wait a minute. Well, I'm a righteous person. I love God, and I've had a lot of broken bones. I know I have. Well, does that say I'm not righteous? Yeah, probably. Because most of the time I got bones broken, it was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. But really, ultimately, this was a prophecy concerning Jesus. I don't know if David ever had broken bones. Probably did, the way he lived, the style of his life. But he was speaking this, and it's not until the Gospel of John that we discover what he was talking, because as he says, he guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. John chapter 19, as it speaks about Jesus dying on the cross, and it says that they came to break his legs, and they didn't have to because he was already dead. And instead, they just stuck the spear into him just to make sure, but they didn't need to break his bones. And then John points out, he did this in fulfillment of the prophecy. And then he quotes this verse, not one of his bones is broken. And so it's referring to Jesus. But it's the same kind of protection that, despite all of the things that happened to him that could have, that should have broken his bones, God wanted to fulfill this particular prophecy and didn't allow it to happen. and not one of your bones will be broken unless God allows it, because he has a specific purpose for it. Evil shall slay the wicked. In other words, what they do will destroy them. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. But the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. God's going to come through for his people.
Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll turn to Psalm 37, which speaks volumes to us when life seems unfair. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say.